Hi, David Silverman here.
Matt Groening here.
Jim Brooks.
Al Jean.
So on this main tile, this is the early version of the main tile, and those original clouds that we zoomed through, I wanted them to be as realistic as possible. In fact, the idea was that they were going to be like almost like live-action clouds. And that was the first version, and it didn't work. And then they said, okay, we're going to get it right. And that's the version you see from now on, which is not right.
Not quite right.
And if you notice that we just missed when the little rod goes down Homer's back, Mr. Burns and Smithers aren't there. That was originally a guy eating a sandwich with tongs, which we threw out.
Yeah, you don't see
that. Terry gigantic here.
Yeah. And this was a... we read a lot of this animation in the second season. We threw this gag out altogether, and we put in instead all the desert ends of Springfield that had been designed up to that point.
It's not really much of a VCR gag, but that's one of our first freeze frame gags where the bus goes by and is an advertisement for Duff Beer. Well, I love this side gag. I love that. That's great. Too bad we had to lose that.
Yeah, we had to trim the title down in the second season. Let's see, you were saying the non-couch gag.
Non-couch gag.
And we had five variations, and that was one of them. They just go in, they sit down, and watch TV. Great gag, huh?
And now to our own pie in the sky, Bill Pie in the KBBL.
Later that show was changed to Arnie in the Sky with Arnie Pie.
This is one of those early shows in which Maggie's sucking over dialogue, which we stopped.
Yeah.
You know, when we did Maggie Simpson Dolls for Mattel, it said on the side of the package, suck, 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 and Mattel said, no. You cannot put that on one of our doll packages, so it's thwuck, thwuck, thwuck.
Well, Maggie, it's just you and me again.
So we, when the show was originally done, this is going to the pilot. In the intro, we had a lot of talking and introducing the characters. We just simplified it to Marge watching as people eat hungrily and ignore her. This was the last show we did in the first season, so we had learned quite a bit by now. And the animation was nice and sharp. This is actually early animation from the first version of the show. And you'll find the backgrounds here are very simple, and you cut to the new stuff, and the backgrounds are much more complex.
Listen to me. He doesn't appreciate me. I don't know how much more of this I can...
Hey, lady, save your whining for when you're on the air, okay?
There's the nuclear power plant crow. It's not much of a gag, but okay, in every establishing shot of the power plant, there's a crow.
That's good.
Hey, turn it up. I love hearing
this was, like, all this animation here is what was in the original version. And this was a new animation.
Marvin Monroe is one of the few characters who's died during the course of the series. There's a Marvin Monroe memorial wing in the hospital.
What was that last thing you said?
Why is that?
Hey, isn't that
why did we get rid of him?
Don't be ridiculous.
Good voice, too.
My wife worships the ground I
well, maybe he'll come back.
Well, you know what? I never liked the character because I don't like those gruff voices. I don't like gravelly voices in cartoons. It sounds too forced for me. I mean, it's Harry Shearer doing it, and he does lots of brilliant voices, but this one just irritated me. I know it was supposed to be irritating, but it was.
Tonight. Second he comes through that front door.
So the reason why he's named Marvin Monroe is the original idea is that it was going to be revealed that his real name was Marilyn Monroe, and that's why he became a therapist, because he was really hung up on that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you didn't know that. I've never shared that story with anyone before.
Homer was a lot thinner in the early shows.
Yeah.
He just really put on weight.
Oh, by the way, I have to say that I had Maggie falling out a lot in this episode. I think I overdid it.
Yeah, Al. Last name,
I actually have fan mail.
When did we cut out these jokes?
Alcoholic. When they became too hard to think of.
how
four seasons in.
Four seasons.
Yeah, we did one where Bart wanted to frustrate Jimbo Jones, so he said that he was Jimbo and Mo came to kill him. I think that's the last time that we did it.
And, of course, this was inspired by countless prank phone call tapes that circulated throughout the country, and particularly the phone calls to the Tube Bar, which got released eventually on CD.
Yeah.
It was our tribute.
Drew Friedman did some illustrations for that.
Great program.
Marge is right, you are a pig. You can ask anyone in this bar.
What?
This is Mo had black hair, and Barney had yellow hair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think we changed it because the yellow seemed too much like his skin.
Yeah. Now, this was originally a different guy who did the original reading, and then Hank came in with his version and dubbed it in, right?
Yeah, and this is the sort of front angle we, you know, stopped doing, where Mo's face seems to liquefy almost. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah. I think Mo is probably the ugliest character in the history of the series. Hank Azaria, it's really funny because he came in, you know, a few episodes into the show, and he always seems to me like the new guy.
Not check out until the next morning, if you get my drift.
I read you loud and clear.
Wow, a 6:15. What's keeping Dad?
Yeah, he'd possibly be late on meatloaf night.
There's empty void of the background.
Kind of flowers. You know, pretty ones, not dead.
Well, we have some beautiful long stem roses.
We thought it was funny at the very beginning of the series to have names of stores rhyme or almost rhyme. So that was Howard's Flowers. And we got really sick of that idea really quickly.
I didn't have any real dream sequences in this show, so we made one up, basically.
Well, there's a very cartoony experiment that we did, which we haven't done since, have we?
What's that?
Put a real animal noise in the mouth of a character.
Yeah. We don't even put animal noises in the mouths of animals.
Right. So this became the dream sequence.
Your husband sees you as nothing. A pig has made you into his mother. You are not the hot love object you deserve to be.
Have we made clear the history of this episode?
Well, I don't think so.
No, this is a... This is
a redo, shall we say.
Great stories in the annals of show business.
Yeah, this is the show that almost killed The Simpsons.
Whatever do you mean, Matt?
Well, we
I remember that day.
We had done 13 episodes, written 13 episodes, and had worked with animators and had all of the episodes in the works before we had seen the results of any of the writing. And layouts were done here.
Right.
Everything was shipped off to Korea. So we really didn't know what we were going to get. And so we had a...
6 months later. Now it's
6 months later, we saw the results of that first script, which was this. And...
Well, not this episode, what we're seeing now, but...
Not this particular episode, because this is the fixed-up version. But there's elements of the original episode in here.
Yes, right? There's a couple of shows.
What percentage of this would you say is new?
I think about 70%.
70%.
And anything that we had old, we actually had a new background to, because all the backgrounds were kind of...
But we sat there and saw the worst version of The Simpsons. Well, you can't imagine. You can't imagine how bad it was, that you can be a little off and they became sort of grotesque and everything was horrible.
The characters were rubbery and ugly. I mean, uglier.
And
there were extra gags that we didn't write into the show. Oh, by the way, here's June Foray, brilliant voice actress. Lady, you've got to be proud to have her on the show. She's one of the greats. But anyway, so we sat in the Gracie bungalow and we watched the results of that first episode. And it was painful. It was truly painful. We sat there in the dark. Al, were you there, Al?
Thank God, no.
I wasn't there.
Well, let me tell you. Jim was there. Were you there?
No, I was working on another episode.
Okay, well, anyway.
I was working on Bart the Genius.
We sat there in the dark after the episode had finished. And very quickly, the room emptied out, leaving just a few of the people responsible. And let's see, how to put this?
I think you can say the word.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what, you do want to say it? It's your quote.
No, you tell the story.
Okay, well, Jim basically said, Jim's pronouncement was,
what a grump.
Oh, wait, go watch this.
Look the way his beard pops back.
Yeah, one little side note, too, is that the Mambo has gone back in style since the show debuted. It was originally kids.
Well, you know, we're digressing all over the place, but I love the Mambo. I love Prez Prado. I've gone to see him perform. I used to go see him at the Hollywood Palladium and before he died. And I thought it would be funny if the Simpsons listened to KMBO, K-Mambo, all Mambo, 24 hours a day. So that's where that came from. But anyway, I have another story. Yeah, so this is Ms. Botts.
Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall, brilliant. Sort of gave her stamp of approval to the show. That was really cool. I actually had a series of babysitters as a kid. And the one I really liked was Mrs. Botts. So that's my tribute to her. I had a real babysitter. I had this other babysitter who my parents went on a 2-week trip and left us kids at home. My younger sisters, Lisa and Maggie, and me. And the second we walked, she was very nice. She was getting the door shut. She pulled out a book that said Psycho Cybernetics on the cover and said, "This, my whole life is based on this book, and I'm going to teach you Psycho Cybernetics." And all I thought was, psycho. And we had to eat food in the proper order, and we had to lift up our fork with our right hand, and we had, you know, it was all this crazy stuff. So this is my catharsis with a babysitter.
All right, but what was the word?
Oh, but we were seeing the show that meant that the series could not possibly work. If the next week we saw a second show as seriously off as that, and we had to wait a week before that was true, but nobody was calling the Emperor, well, you couldn't call the Emperor anything else but naked at that moment, but it was that.
Well, the phrase I remember hearing, and it will be forever imprinted on my brain, in the dark, Jim, you said, "This is shit." And there was silence, and one of the animators said, "What do you mean, shit?" And you said, "A foul substance which causes disease." And that's when the room emptied. I think people realized it was going downhill from there. And then there was some defense. I remember a line, "Maybe your script is not so funny."
Oh, this had a great playoff because the same nameless animator, when we won an Emmy, suddenly he had, you know, and he'd always said this about this. He said, he had come back to me and he says, "Maybe this shit isn't funny," meaning that it was, you know, the script and not. And then all of a sudden, so dissolve, we were all there winning an Emmy and we were all getting this picture, a group picture, and I saw the animator down, you know, getting the Emmy, and I leaned over and I said, "Maybe this shit isn't funny," which was small of me, I admit.
And now we hang out together all the time. That's the amazing thing. You know, we're all friends. And
he laughs about it all the time and says how he was wrong.
But the postscript was the next week's show is Bart the Genius, which was great, directed by David, and then
yeah, David it
turned
things
around.
But the longest week ever, because yeah. Fox had committed to 13 shows. There was no way it would be anything but horrible if that persisted. It was just the longest week.
Oh, and remember,
it was really
long
for me.
We
I was
kept
sweating
Fox
bullets.
Was supposed to come and see the show, and we made up an excuse, and I don't remember what the excuse was, because we wanted to wait till more animation came in to see whether or not we had anything to show for all our troubles.
I think it was some preposterous stories about being ashamed of our work so far.
I believe, too, wasn't the show going to debut in September? Oh. And because of this, it then premiered with the Christmas episode.
That's correct.
That's right. That's
yep,
right.
That's why show 8 is the first episode.
It turned out that because of the mess-ups and miscalculations, and, you know, and again, it's easy to blame, you know, a few culprits, but the fact is we were looking at this all the way through. We were looking at animatics. We were looking at designs and everything like that. And, you know, it just slipped by because we didn't know. We didn't know how to look at animation. And
And nobody could reassure us during that week. David, you couldn't reassure us that it was going to be okay the following week.
Well, I was kind of out of the real loop of it. This is the first time I had directed an episode myself, so after the first disastrous episode, I just kept running my brain all over the place and making sure I didn't make the same mistakes.
Yeah, basically, each director is responsible for his or her episode, and the supervising director is the only one that works on all of them.
Which we didn't have at that time, really.
No.
I guess that's why you made me supervising director.
Anyway, that week was a horrendous week. I remember not being able to sleep, wondering if indeed this was it. My brief career in animation was over. And it was so gratifying when we saw the animation for the episode that David Silverman directed, Bart the Genius, because it meant we saw right away, oh, this is fixable. We can make this thing work.
Ironically, then, when this episode aired with the 70% fixes, a lot of people told me it was their favorite or one of their favorites from the first 13.
Yeah.
This is our tribute to Night of the Hunter. And now there's the pickled eggs or pickled beets with no beets
no
in the jar. That's one we didn't fix.
We didn't quite fix it one up.
One trivia note, too, is that people say, how come Santa's Little Helper was in the Christmas show and then didn't appear for many of the first season episodes? That's because the Christmas show was the eighth one recorded.
Right.
You know what's going to be the payoff of the story we just told? If we're going to show on the same DVD the what we saw that fateful day, the awful stuff. What do we like it now? What do we panic about?
Well, let's not show it all. Let's just show a little piece of it, okay?
I think the government has a super fund to clean up that episode.
When you get to that part of the DVD, that'll be the only DVD with audio commentary of just us screaming.
A lot of her animation, Miss Boz, was pretty good, but what we mainly did is change the background. But you can see that a lot of the Bart animation there is pretty wild and off-model.
What you would see, too, is if a door gets shut, it flaps, it doesn't behave like a real door.
Right.
Things we don't do, haven't done since.
When I finish up, you guys can watch the rest of your favorite video cassette.
Quiet, Bart. Let's make the best of this.
Maybe I'll go...
Yeah, there you go. Your blue thing with the things. Fox did not want us to say that.
Scandal.
We know exactly what you mean.
Maggie demonstrating her dexterity even in the early days of the show.
Kid stuff. Well, hardly worth it. A lot of junk. Soil. Stupid Samsons.
It would be interesting to go through this and see how much of it is new. Looking at it, it almost all seems new to me, rather than the original.
You can sort of point it out. I think that one's pretty much the same.
Well, in the original version of the show, somebody rips the head off of one of the elves and drinks blood out of his neck.
I can't remember that. I don't know if that's actually become now a legend.
No,
it's there.
It's in there.
Oh, Homer!
Is that Homer's first ecstatic shudder? That's not related to food.
Oh, so you got out of your crib? I guess you need to be tied up too.
Yep, there's one of those doors slamming like it's made out of rubber.
Maggie. Maggie.
Remember when that was in the old version of that, the staging of that was so wild it didn't make any sense.
No, we'd never draw their feet like that anymore, would we?
I don't think so.
Just to check on the kids. Homer, wake up.
This I'm pretty sure is new.
So? So I'm worried. I think we should go home.
No,
All right, I suppose my work here is done.
Hello, vigilant
viewer. We caught the babysitter Bennett. I think one of the appeals of Homer is that he loves what he loves, you know? He loves it with all his heart. So whether it's a donut or a beer or Marge or whatever, he's just on board with it, you know? And all the rest of us are feeling guilty, and we love the same thing Homer loves. But, you know.
No, he's really relentlessly upbeat. He loves everything on TV, no matter what.
We're so sorry.
Yeah. Please turn off the TV.
I can't tell you how chagrined we are all of this.
Oh, these things are heavy. Just so there's no hard feelings, here's double your pay. No, triple.
Thank you. Mr. Sampson, can I get you a...
Ooh, yeah. Nice trumpet mouth.
Sure. That was an example of the kind of thing we wanted.
Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? You know one time he...
Well, you know, the deal with animation is you basically are creating your own universe and your own rules. And, you know, there are different rules for different animated universes. Disney has its own rules. Warner Brothers had its own rules. Hanna-Barbera has its own rules. And we're establishing our rules on The Simpsons. And I think part of the problem, again, with these early episodes, is that we hadn't really nailed down what our rules were. And my feeling was that with Disney cartoons, the entire universe was on very cushiony springs. Everything was really bouncy. And in Warner Brothers cartoons, things were like... very rubber bandy. Things snapped a lot, and people went to extreme poses. And the idea in The Simpsons was, for me anyway, that these are characters, again, the middle-aged people, who are fairly stiff and awkward, but have a little bit of that rubber band in them, but basically they can't bend their arms the wrong way. They don't walk through the air and fall to their death, you know, like Warner Brothers' Wile E. Coyote, or to their non-death. And
can we make up again?
And that we nail it with consistent anatomy and with realistic sound effects. Other than you heard on the Happy Little Elves, there are no boings in The Simpsons. There are no boings and zaps and the usual kind of cartoony sound effects. And
these were passionate conversations, remember?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things that was difficult to getting the animators on, you know, all drawing consistently, is that they were either schooled in Warner Brothers style animation or Disney style animation, and there wasn't a lot of variations. Now, I think there's a lot of, like, you know, every show that comes on has a very strong artist-driven vision of what the show should be like, but The Simpsons was very unusual then because shows were driven by what the studio style was, not by a specific artist style, and we're following Matt's lead on that.